7. Trusting in Jesus, my Savior divine, I have the witness that still He is mine. Grace are the blessings He giveth to me. Oh, I am happy as mortal can be. 427. We had this one the last time I was here, I understand, and I taught you a little. Let me see how you've progressed since.
disaster in the air. Up in the Faroes, and some of our dear beloved brothers and sisters are involved. The broken hearts there, and the broken, I shouldn't say broken homes, but of the vacant chairs in the days to come. Some of those that fought this way before will understand the position. So we're going to ask God's blessing on our coming together, and we're going to ask a special blessing on the saints. And they'll stand up to the shock, and a bright light will shine, and God will even be glorified in this. I don't know if you know anyone personally in it, but I've had the experience of getting news of two being taken home at once through an accident. Not blood relations, but in the Lord. I was heartbroken about it, rushed to send a letter to my friends. My sympathy went with them in my prayers. Let us be very earnest in our prayer about this tonight. God will come in. Heal the sorrows and give them grace and strength to stand up to the strain. Above all, be glorified in it. Let's ask God's blessing. Our God and our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Saviour, we would come boldly to the throne of grace at this particular time, knowing his precious blood is sprinkled there, before and on the throne. We thank thee and praise thee, our Father, for the joy it gives us to come and roll all our cares upon him, for he cares for us. We praise thee, Lord, in times past thy people have come, in times of dire need and sorrow, and have found that there was a loving, sympathizing, great high priest carrying us in his arms and making petition for us at the throne of grace. We pray very earnestly tonight, Lord, for our brethren and sisters involved in this accident that men call accident. We ask that through it all thy saints will be sustained, that while we'll have sorrowing hearts like the two on the way to Emmaus, they might see the Lord face to face and be set on their way with a joy in their heart, knowing that he doeth all things well. We pray for those, our Father, who are left behind and perhaps in days to come will look upon a vacant chair. Those that will find themselves thinking, waiting for those that will not return to this scene of time. That thou heal their sorrows. Help them, Lord, to look upward and see that one day we'll be in a place where there'll be no partings, of no accidents, of no sorrows nor tears. And our hearts will go out to thee in adoration and worship and praise. Comfort ye my people, said the prophet. And that's the prayer of our heart that the Lord Jesus will say to the people involved in this accident. Now, Lord, thou knowest that we've come to read thy words and explain a little as best we can on this. We pray that thou wilt open hearts and minds to receive the word of God as from thyself. We ask that thou bless it to the building of thy people in this place. We pray especially tonight again for these boys and girls that start night after night with open mouths and open eyes. We pray, Lord, in open hearts too, that some of them will yet come and tell us that we've come to the Lord Jesus. We ask our Father that they'll bless what they've carried home of the gospel in booklet form, in pencil form, in rubber form, in every way that we could possibly get the gospel into the home. We ask our Father that thou wilt bless it there. Remember all the activities of this assembly and those surrounding. that there might be a mighty wave of blessing in that amongst thy people and reaching out to the unsaved in days to come. Help us to sing thy praise tonight with our hearts rejoicing in thee. For Jesus' sake. Amen.
421, please. 421. Face to face with Christ my Saviour. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? 421, please.
you. Now, as we come to the Acts of the Apostles again tonight in the 20th chapter, while you're turning up, just let me give a brief announcement or two and then we'll proceed right forward. You'll understand that we've had 2 weeks of boys and girls meetings. We would say that we've had very good attendances. We gave away over 50 prizes tonight for attendance. Some of them here every night, almost. Some of them here every night. And of course the others just in and out. We reached a goodly number of boys and girls. There's only one or two nights at the beginning that we didn't have over 40. But the last week we've never been down to 40. It's always been 50 or thereabouts. So we have much to pray for, but much to thank God for, because looking over the cards, the age is on them. And the biggest percent by a long way are 7 years to 13 years, which tells me that from 7 years to 13 years, they're quite capable of understanding what it means to trust the Saviour. So do pray that the Lord will bless these boys and girls in the oncoming days. And don't forget that tomorrow night the prayer meeting will be on. Conference last Saturday, but tomorrow night the prayer meeting will be on again. Sunday morning, as usual, we trust you'll be there present if you can. And on Sunday afternoon, the Sunday school, and then the ministry meeting, and then the gospel meeting. We'll be very pleased with your prayers for these meetings. Getting a little bit worried about this going on and on. I just feel that this is the last weekend, and we pray very earnestly that the Lord would give us a little time of blessing. Then on Sunday night again, we're going out to Huswick for their meeting, which starts at 8. We've much to pray for, and we've much need of your prayers for 5 meetings on Sunday. So do pray that the Lord will give us grace and guidance. Now, we'll turn to the chapter then, the 20th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We'll commence to read at verse 17. Acts chapter 17, 20 and verse 17 says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he
he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God unto the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities, and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore, and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his own most precious word. The book of the Acts is a book, as we have said already on various occasions, it brings great joy and great blessing to our hearts to read. The book of the Acts is an inspiration to spiritual living and to Christian activity. But the book of the Acts has got far more in it than just one or two odd verses here and there to build an assembly or a character upon. And as we go from verse to verse, we can see things opening up before us, fresh day after day. And we'll never get past the book of the Acts because it's not yet finished. It's finished according to the canon of Scripture. But the book of the Acts of the Spirit of God is still being recorded in heaven. Because if I'm doing anything outside of the Spirit of God, then I'm in the wrong condition. My earnest prayer, night and day as I get the privilege and opportunity, is that I might be a spiritual man with spiritual desires in the fullness of the Spirit to serve saints and sinners alike. And that's the thing in the Acts of the Apostles that's brought before us, that I have endeavoured a night fast to try and bring before you. When you come to this part of the Acts of the Apostle, you'll understand that we've come to an established church. You'll understand what I mean when I say established. Here's the church that the Apostle Paul wants to bring before them certain things. Well, you see, that's great. He wants to tell them how he's ministered and how he's done this and how he's done that, nothing of the kind. That's not what's in his heart and mind at all. He's going to bring five things before them tonight. And these five things are just as usual. You don't need pick and shovel to get down into the depths to get the points that I want to bring before you. They're just there on the sun. What's the first thing he wants to bring before us? Well, you'll understand that the first thing is quite clear and distinct. And here we've got it in the passage that we read in verse 28, purchased with his own blood. Purchased with his own blood. Here's a church that was purchased. You've got to understand this. That's why the Lord Jesus said very distinctly, I will build my church. It's very clear to me in this respect that it's easy to take a verse, but when you get the context of a chapter, then you'll discover that there are certain things that are very outstanding, and perhaps it's not the verse that you think of it, or I think of it. He says here, very distinctly, this church is purchased with his blood, his own blood, or the blood of his own. The church of Jesus Christ is the most precious and costly thing in this universe. If it were Sunday school boys and girls I was talking to, I would tell them straight that Christ brought these worlds into being, that Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. But when it comes to the church, he got to go to a cross, and he got to pay the price, and a very great price it was. When you read the Bible in the Old Testament, we like to look for pictures. I don't mean like a children's storybook, but pictures that throw light on the New Testament truth. In Genesis chapter 22, that very familiar chapter and the second verse, keep now thy son, thy only son, thy Isaac, whom thou lovest. Here was Abraham asked to pay the summit price. Nothing higher in Abraham's possession. Nothing greater in Abraham's heart and life than his well-beloved son Isaac, in whom all the promises were resting. Yet God says you'll teach him and you'll pay the price. But we know full well that while God brought that thing to pass, Abraham carried it out to the last jot and tittle and lifted the knife to pay the extreme price. But no, God saved him. Saved Isaac. But when it comes to the place called Calvary, there's something different. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Didn't forsake Abraham. He didn't allow Abraham to plunge the knife in. Hear the Christ of the cross. And his cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why is he doing it? Because he's paying the purchase price of this precious treasure of his, the church. The Apostle Paul sits at the cross and he gazes. And as he thinks about it, he says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. But Peter goes a little deeper and perhaps clearer. We are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb, without spot and without blemish, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. We are not just something that's thrown onto the scene of time. We are not just thrown onto this scene to wander about. Here's a nation called Israel. And they're called out of Egypt. Come out under the blood of a lamb. And for 40 years they can look back and they say that not one thing has failed of his promises. God was in the midst all the time. Not behind curtains, behind curtains. But in the church that we are part and parcel of, there's no curtains down. The veil is rent. Jesus
Christ is there, we can draw our eye into the immediate presence of God without any let or hindrance. Israel the type, yes. Christ the fulfillment. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon on our hands of the Word of Life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it. Here is the purchased price. The life of the Lord Jesus being poured out at the place called Calvary. As he gazes upon this, he's looking for the day when we're going to be with him in glory, and we are going to behold his glory. Is it any wonder that the second thing comes up? What's the second thing? Well, we've read it together. This just the choice of God's heart. The price has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And on this scene of time, there are pearls in this church, pearls. As you read this chapter over, the Apostle Paul calls the elders together. What does he say? Why, he says that wolves are going to come in amongst you. Wolves? Yes, wolves. What is a wolf anyway? A wolf is an animal that delights to tear sheep to shreds. A wolf is an animal that's vicious and fierce. Its great objective is destruction and devouring. If you need me to start to talk to you about the first few chapters of the Acts of the Apostles, do you need me to talk to you about the persecution that followed the saints as they spread the gospel? Do you need me to take you into the second chapter of the Revelation and show you a church called Smyrna? Tear them to atoms. Tear them to ribbons. Scotch to the backbone and 10 inches into the marrow. And wherever I go, I'm proud of the fact that I live in a land where there are such called people called covenanters that were torn as the wolves devoured them. But it was only according to the scriptures. And we go back some hundreds of years ago and see the tortures of Rome. The wolves. Could I say this, brethren and sister, without fear of contradiction? That the wolves of Rome, and the wolves of the Roman Church, and the wolves that have entered into this world and torn the precious church of Jesus Christ in many times and places are nothing to what's going on now. We could only change places with some of our brethren under the iron curtain, or in places where the red flag flies, we would know what persecution unheard of before is. Yeah, it's there. Wolves. My, that prophecy is surely clear and very distinct. The Apostle Paul is very clear about this. He's not throwing any maybes or ifs and buts. As you go through the scriptures, you'll find that he brings it home very, very forcibly to us. That's not the only trouble. That's not the only peril. You read over the chapter, you'll find in verse 29, for I know this, that
After my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Very, very bad, but something worse. Read the next verse. And of your own self shall men arise. Oh, of your own self, not outside, inside. Look what it says, speaking perversely to draw away disciples after themselves. The devil outside is bad, but the devil inside is a lot worse. You can deal with the devil outside to a great extent, but it's much harder to deal with the devil inside. You're not trying to suggest, are you, that any person that's saved is going to cause trouble and enmity and things like that in the assembly? I'm not trying to suggest a thing. I'm only pointing out what's in this Bible of mine. And it's in yours. And he didn't say it was going to be in a sweet by and by. You have no bother to try it. He says, of your own selves. Even as far back as Paul's farewell to these people, he was telling them distinctly that in the very midst of that church, there were many who were prepared to arise at the first opportunity. What to do? Read it. Speaking perversely to draw away disciples after them. What did you write to Corinthians, Paul? Oh, he says, I sat down and I looked at them and I thought about them. I am a Paul. I am a Stephen. I am a poet. I am a Christ. Was he right? Was his prophecy right? The Ephesian elders. Turn to Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. We try these false prophets and found them liars in the early church. Why, you think to hear some folk talking about the early church? It was just pure and holy and not a ripple, except from outside. Is that not the prophecy being fulfilled? What's wrong with the church today? Why, there's so many men want to have preeminence. Die with preeminence. Love to have preeminence. Through Apostle John, he could lie in the heart of the Lord Jesus. He could bow before him as a risen Christ. But he couldn't get into that church. I don't think the Apostle Paul was playing himself or just some sentimentality about him. What does the scripture say? All scripture is written for our learning. And if it happened in that day, it can happen in this. Don't try and tell me it's not happening. I was staying in a house. The sister wasn't too kind to me, neither was the brother. Well, after me night after night, day after day, and I was almost afraid to open my mouth in case they would find fault. They come at me about certain things. I said, well, you have your own way of it. I'm not going to discuss anything with you again. My sister said to me, well, you know, Mr. Hobbs, there's something I just can't understand. I said, what is that? He said, I just can't understand all these denominations. The Baptist and the Pentecostal and the Methodist and the this and the that. I said, did you ever look the other way? What do you mean? I said, the Derby Party, the Kelly Party, the Stuart Fellowship, the Needy Truth, the Blatton Party, the Albion and Torrent Party, the Open Brethren, the Close Brethren, the Tight Brethren, the Loose Brethren. Oh, she said, I never thought about that one. I said, look, you think before you speak. The death of our testimony is men lying. Gathering folks around themselves to be opposed to the faith that God wants. I can deal with the wolf outside, but I can't deal with the devil inside. Is that what he says? Read the verse. For I know this, that after my departing, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock also. Of your own selves shall they arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Watch after them. Watch and remember. That's clear enough. You New Testament church, be very careful for the wolves are outside. They're not very strong these days, they're not taking much notice of us these days. Why, the men are arriving inside. They're not spare the flock. They don't care two straws for the testimony of Jesus Christ, let alone the testimony of the church, so long as they have the pig-headed way. Paul has warned you. Terrors. Terrors. What else? Another simple thing. Provision. Provision. God never left his church without provision. But the first provision, shepherds, shepherds. Nearly afraid to talk about shepherds. If I say one or two things, I'll perhaps be taken up wrong. Shepherds are only men. Remember that first. But they are men, according to what Paul says in this, have been brought into a condition and placed in a place by the Holy Spirit himself. Over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. Do you think the Holy Spirit wants liars in the overplace? Do you think for one moment that the Holy Spirit is going to put anybody on the other side that's going to split the assembly up the middle? Here's the test. Here's the proof. These overseers, one of the men that he's talking about, gathering a company around there that they'll put a pocket in some place. There'll be a resistance movement in the progress of the assembly. No, no. A man like that was never, never placed there by the Holy Spirit to do any such thing. Lord Jesus, before he left heaven, he said, he shall glorify me. Man that's going to claim to be spirit-filled and spirit-led will be a man that's glorifying Christ in the very thing he's doing. upward. There's a higher way. A higher way. He says, a higher way for me when the wolf cometh. You're over fear. How did I get it? I think it's in my fair speech. Fair speech. Stroking your back. Saying things that please you, whether they're right or wrong. Then when they get settled, they shake their outside garments off, and then you see their teeth coming out. The overseers haven't recognized that. But these fellows did. We have put them to the test and found them liars. That was one evil that wasn't in Ephesus in Revelation 2. These men are just men, I say, and I say it again with all respect to them. But then there's other things too. What's the second provision? Yeah, watch the time too for that. The second provision is the Word of God. The Word of God. Is that what he said? Most distinctly said, I've ceased not. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the Word of His grace. Two brethren sat in a minute in a Bible reading. I know them both friends of mine. One's a very big conference speaker. So when a point came up with another brother, took him up on it. He looked at him for a moment. This brother turned over a few scriptures. Boy, it says this, doesn't it? It says this, doesn't it? It says this, doesn't it? Boy, that's right, but I never looked at it in that angle. See, Willie, Giant Derby can be wrong too, and that's who you're quoting. He was an overseer that knew the word. Not the popular thief! Not the popular preaching. Not the popular exposition. But the Word. The Word. And nothing else. You're going to be an overseer. Don't look for a happy experience of everybody bowing down to you, because sometimes you're going to have a very difficult thing to do. You're going to take your Bible and you're going to visit someone and say, listen brother, I've just come to have a wee talk of what the scripture says. You'll have to be able to take him up on his own ground and show him from the scripture where he's wrong. That's what happened at the Bible reading. And Willie was man enough to acknowledge it. If I told you his name, you might be surprised. Well, I don't want to leave this highly purchased church just to be raving with wolves without making some provision against it. Let me say this and say it very kindly. And if you're one of the persons that are rising up within the church to cause havoc, and be sure of this, you're not there by the Spirit of God, because he never does that. Wherefore are the violence stood up against Moses' God? Only place in scripture when anybody went alive to hell. Oh, and the lion went down quick, alive! Like to hell itself, body, soul, and spirit. Why? The
go to the fourth thing. What's the fourth thing?
Passing service. Of course the Apostle Paul had platinum saints everywhere. But he had experience. Now he's oftentimes just the same as everybody else. Thus fighting war.
Well, what was wrong with him to do that? He apologized for it because he knew full well he was a spiritual man. And he knew he had said the wrong thing at the wrong time in the wrong place. But he was man enough to admit it. He's still a passing servant. Notice just exactly three things about his service. What's the first kind about his service? Serving the Lord. See? I thought all Christian service was serving the Lord. Well, did you? You haven't lived very long, you haven't travelled very far. If you're like me, you'll someday get a rude awakening. When I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Saviour, I went in the next morning and made my first stand before my fellow workers. And from that day to this, I've never closed my mouth yet. But in my early years, I was absorbed in the Spirit by the Word of God and serving Him fearlessly as they told me. I hadn't time to look round and look about and look at others. But I'm sorry the day ever come when I had time. Because I've discovered there's a lot of service and it's not for the Lord. He said he was serving the Lord. The only objection was the Lord. To me, to him, Christ. That's the first thing. Notice what it says. Don't worry about me preaching. All humility. Don't get any great big bills with the Apostle Paul's name on it. Not get any printing firm doing great big posters and great big numbers of fancy bills and all the rest of it. I'm not worried two straws about them. Oh, humility. See, brethren and sisters, let me say something here. I'm going to say it very clearly and distinctly. I have come to the position and condition in my life where I feel that the saints, you listen, the saints are giving far too much honour to the servants. What do you mean? Let us sister. My, this evangelist has come along and she got saved. My, what a great man he is. Marvellous! Oh, Mr. So-and-so! I said, is that a fact? Is that true? Oh, yes, Mr. Hall. I said, your mother never prayed for you. Eh? I said, your father never took you to Sunday school. The Bible class teacher never taught you the scripture. Your father and mother never wept over you. Oh, Mr. Hall, I says, go on. He's a great man. He comes and preaches one sermon and you get saved. And he's the all, the A end and the B end and the A all. He's only a servant. My son-in-law has a sister married to a father. Him and his brother-in-law were discussing certain things about the farm. He said, listen, Jim, I never allow any of my staff to sow my fields. I sow my own. You see, the harvest, I go down to the village and get anybody that's willing to work for a couple of years for a few odd bob. Anybody can bring in harvest. begin to tear.
Those checks fell from the last time I heard him preaching. He must be a little soft or something.
Greatest man that ever walked the skin of time was a man of tears. He beheld the city and he wept over it. And since the regarder was strong, crying and tears, and if a servant weeps, he's a weakling. And he's filled with a passion. Preached when I couldn't see the audience for water running down my face and had handkerchiefs to keep it dry. The power of God was present. How did this man establish churches? How did he? Gathering company around him? No fear. Art. Humility. Tears. He's still playing at serving. I was a boy, you know, we used to play a horse and drive with a piece of string over our shoulders. That's out of date now, it's old fashioned. But the one just person just guided the other to where it should go. We're all mechanical now, you just go where you like and when you like and as you like. Paul says, no, he says, I'm for the Lord, and I'm in deep humility, and I'm in tears. And temptations which befall me by the laying in wait of the Jews. Paul, do you have temptations? Why, I thought a man like you was above temptation. A man that be caught up to the third heaven and saw things that he couldn't even explain and heard words that he couldn't even utter. Temptations, here he is. Do you think a servant has no temptations? Do you think we're walking in thin air? Well, you're mistaken. There's a couple that will be any other. I must go on because I want to go to 31. What does it say there, 31? 3 years. I cease not to walk. Every one of you, night and day, with tears again. Tears again. Not tell me that the Apostle Paul was a sloppy sentimentalist. He points over to us and he tells us that when the block was ready and the man was there with the axe to take off, he says, quick, I'll move and take it off. He says, well, what is faith I want to be with the Lord? No sentimentality about him, but his service. 31. Night and day. Night and day. Forgive me, will you? During the war, I went to a phone box to go to a meeting. I phoned up one of the brethren. He said, where are you going? And I told him. Well, he says, Davey, you're going to kill yourself. He says, you can't stick it night and day. Working all day and running every night preaching. I said, well, I said, I'm going to carry on now, eh? And I settled for him. And I went away to the meeting. I jumped off the streetcar at the corner, went into the phone, phoned another brother away in another part of the town. Oh, is that you, David? Yes, Dallas Lesterman. Where were you tonight? Oh, such and such a place. Where are you going tomorrow night? Oh, such and such a place. You know, David, I think you're doing too much. I think your earnest desire is right, but you're doing far too much. You're away far too often. Same phone box. Same phone. Two different parts of the city.
Do I look as if I'm dying and I'm 67 past? Night and day. Yes, and many nights with tears too. I want just to touch the last word. What does it say in the very last of 35? Verse 35. Support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That nice? That nice? Here's the praise of the saints, the praise of the saints. More blessed to give than to receive. Let me ask you a simple question. Do you know what it is to give? Do you know what it is to give? I'm not talking about an offering. I'm talking about giving. Giving. I've only spoken once in giving, in fear and trembling, in case the saints were thinking I was disgruntled about the conditions I was living in. I'll put it that way. Or the people I was connected with. And I warned them before I started. I said, I've got no axe to grind. And on top of the platform, I went to the black. There was a silence. And I stood at the door. One brother came and put out his hand. He says, brother, I've been in the operating table tonight. And he said, it was graciously done. I said, thank you. Another comment shook out, says, brother, never thought it was just as clear as that in the scripture, and I've been an utter failure. Different ones come and spoke to me about it. Read your Bible, never mind anybody else. Read what it says about it. The Lord Jesus gave it all, everything. Life's blood that trickled down his side, from his head, his hands, his feet, gave his very life to him, poured it out. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you know the joy of giving? If you don't, you won't know much about the joy of receiving either. Here's a man who gave his all. Night and day with tears, in humility, in great distress, in temptation. Still he gave his all. He says, listen, I'm in a strait betwixt two. He says, I don't know what to do. Not that I don't want to go to heaven, but he says, I'm afraid to leave you because of the joy of giving to you. So he could write to these people in this church at Ephesus. He could say, now listen, you have purchased possession. God has purchased you with the blood of his own. He says, there's going to be pearls from within and pearls from without. God has made provision with giving you overseer to the word of God. He left you a pattern of service for to carry on what he's given you, a privilege of being a praiseworthy people, of being more blessed to give than to receive. May we be something like it. Suppose it's only a shadow of it, but an angle toward the goal of being in that category as a church here. Let's pray. Oh God, our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you tonight for thy loving kindness towards us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of thy love that's gone before. We thank thee he paid the price
and he's building his church from day to day. We thank you and praise you before thine eyes tonight. There's a finished, completed church in thy presence. One day we shall be there, and the joy and rejoicing of God himself and Christ and his glory will behold. We'll look back on our trials and our troubles. They will worry us no more, for we'll leave them all behind us when our journey here is over. Pass us with thy richest blessing and take us to our homes and enable us to ponder these things in our heart. Enable us to walk worthy of the high and holy calling of God in Christ Jesus. For his name's sake. Amen. Now we're going to sing hymn number 81, please. Hymn number 81. I am waiting for the dawning of the bright and blessed day, when the night of sorrow shall have vanished far away. 81, please.